The scripture reading this morning will come from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Again, that is Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Our family's been touched by tragedy this weekend. I planned all week, in fact, for the last couple of weeks, this sermon around Thanksgiving. All kinds of nice things to say about Thanksgiving, and that's hard to preach this morning. It really is. And yet, the message from the Word of God is the same. Jesus tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the message doesn't change, regardless of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. The world thinks of Thanksgiving as a couple of days off, opportunity to be with family, and a socially acceptable reason to eat more food than we should. And that's fine. But from a spiritual perspective, Thanksgiving reminds us of one of the most important and actually pleasant duties that we have as Christians. We have a command to give thanks to God for all the good things we've received. And as I say, sometimes that's hard. We say goodbye to friends. We have situations come up that we don't understand. We have difficult times going on all around us, from the tragedies of this weekend to COVID-19 to just fill in the blank. I had a friend who didn't even want to deal with fall back this fall when the time changed because he didn't want an extra hour of 2020. And with all those things around us, still we are told to be thankful. Sometimes even when it's hard to see what we have to be thankful for. In the book of Colossians, in just four chapters, Paul manages to speak of thanksgiving, joy, and gratitude 10 times. 10 times he addresses those items in the book of Colossians. And in fact, he mentions that subject in every single chapter of the book. When you're down and having a hard time, this is a good book to go to, because Paul talks about thanksgiving and joy and gratitude. In chapter 1, he begins in verse 3 by thanking the Father. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then in verse 12, he encourages them, us, to give thanks, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's qualified us to be heirs, to be partakers of the joys of heaven. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he describes the Christian life. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it, in that faith, abounding in that faith, having lots of it with thanksgiving. Later in chapter 4, he gives us a final reminder in chapter 4, verse 2, to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. In chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, he mentions thankfulness 3 times in 3 consecutive verses. We're commanded to be thankful. Now, there are a lot of things outside of our control. There are a lot of things that we don't control, and it's hard for us as people because we want to be in control. We want to feel like we have control of our lives, especially as Americans. We really want to feel like nobody's telling me what to do. I am in control. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, we're not in control. There are things we cannot change. There are things we cannot affect. There's one thing we do have control over, And that is our attitude. That is how we approach the things that happen to us in this life, the things that go on in this world. In chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. That's another word here that can be translated as thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. You see, what we can do is we can choose our attitude. Did you notice how he begins that verse 16? That very first word of verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. See, we can choose. We can choose to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And if we do that, then we can choose what we think about. We can choose what we focus on. We can choose what our attitude toward life is. If you then were raised with Christ, verse 3, chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things that are above. Years ago, I worked at a radio station where we had a promotion came out. Somebody sold us, I think we must have bought 10,000 little bitty radios, teeny tiny little radios. Today, that radio would be in your thumbnail, but back then, it was big to have a little radio that you could clip on your belt with earphones. Didn't even have speakers, just earphones. But the unique thing about these little radios that they bought to give away, they only got one station, ours. We wanted people listening to us. We didn't want them tuning to the country station down the street. We wanted them listening to us. So they got these radios with one radio station in it. Most of the time, we even had batteries in them. I give up. You play the technical guy here. Let's turn it off so it doesn't spew when you turn. Okay. Y'all are going to have to listen to me shout loud now for a minute. Batteries are coming. The thing about this radio, though, is it only got one station. And it meant that that's the only station that you could listen to with this radio. We're not like that. We are blessed with the ability, here, we'll play in traffic, I'll stand by the microphone. You see, we can't control when the batteries die. All we can control is how we deal with the batteries dying. Stand in front of the microphone, Leon, that's where you're supposed to be. We have the ability to change the station. We have the ability to have different settings for how we deal with things. We can change our setting. We can change what we listen to. I was in the car the other day and I had the radio turned on and they popped up a song and it started playing and I thought, I don't like that song. That's not good for me. Actually, it's not true. See, I like the song. The music is good. The melody is good. It's got a funny, cute little message. It's a feel-good thing. It's by one of my favorite country singers, and the whole song is this title, I Like This Bar. Yeah, you heard it. And I thought, wait a minute, Leon. As a Christian, I should not be singing a song that says, I like this bar. I should be singing a song that says, I like his church. I like my friends. I like my brothers. I like my sisters. I need to change what I'm doing. I can't change the radio station. They're going to play what they're going to play. But I can change what I listen to. I can change my attitude, and since I can change my attitude and let the word of Christ dwell in me richly, I have to allow it to dwell in me richly. Since I can do that, I can control my attitude. And I can choose to have an attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving is good for us. For one thing, that attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude makes our relationships better. Verse 15 of Colossians 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let your attitude be one of peace. Paul says, and be thankful, because an attitude of gratitude will create harmony among people. If we're thinking about what we have to be thankful for, if we're focused on being thankful, we will be kind to those around us. We will treat them the way they should be treated. If I have peace within me, it's easier to get along with other people. You show me somebody who can't get along with anybody around them, I'll show you a very unhappy person who's filled with turmoil, who's filled with things that have them upset. But if I have an attitude of gratitude for what I'm blessed with, an attitude of thanksgiving, if my attitude is letting the word of Christ dwell richly in me, I will get along with people that are better because my attitude of thankfulness lets me be content, and in being content, to be in control. We have brothers and sisters in this family who are going to need a lot of help over the next few weeks and months. We're going to need a lot of support. And if our attitude is negative, we're not going to be able to help them. If our attitude is not one of thanksgiving, we're not going to be able to help them and do what we need to be able to do. A grateful person is a positive person. And a positive person is not looking for a fight. He's not being quarrelsome. He's looking for ways to help and support each other. Think about it this way. Who would you rather hang around with? Somebody who was happy, or somebody who grateful, or somebody who was grumpy and looking at the downside? And someone who's hurting has already got negative things in their life. They don't need you adding more to it. Do we talk at length about our burdens, or do we talk at length about our blessings? Do we focus on how unfair things are? My candidate didn't win. My stock didn't work. My job didn't do what I wanted it to do. My friends all, or do we talk about the positive things and dwell on what is going good? I've shared with you before the story of the two little boys, identical twins. One was a pessimist, one was an optimist. Psychiatrist says, you got to break this cycle in these two boys. They're extreme. So he told the parents what to do. And Christmas morning, the two boys got up, and the little pessimist opened the door, and here's a whole room full of every toy you can imagine. All the latest and greatest things. It looked like mom and dad just bought out the Sears wish book. And in the other room, the little optimist opened that door, and he looked in there, and here's piles and piles of piles of manure. And the little pessimist, mom and dad opened the door and looked in there, and he's sitting in the middle of the floor surrounded by all these toys. He says, not any point in even opening them. I know they won't work. They probably didn't include batteries either. As soon as I use it, it'll break. I don't know why they got me all this stuff, and one person can't possibly play with all of this. They shut the door, and they open the door with the little optimist, and he's sitting in the middle of the room with a shovel, just digging and digging, and he looks at mom and dad. He says, all this manure, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. We can't control what we get. We can control how we react to it. You go into a pet shop to buy a pet bird, which I've done on occasion. One of the kids wanted a bird for Christmas, or wanted a bird for a birthday, or Brenda wanted to have some birds singing in the house once in a while. And I've walked in, I've looked at parakeets, and I've looked at parrots, and I've shopped for canaries. You know, not one time in all of the years of going into pet shops have I ever seen in the pet shop or heard of anybody going in, and I certainly didn't go in and say to the man at the pet shop, you got any buzzards? Attitude. No one wants to be around someone who's always looking for the rotten stuff in life. We can control our attitude and have an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Even when we're facing difficult times, even when we're facing challenges, we can look for things to be thankful for. Gratitude, thankfulness makes our relationships better. An attitude of gratitude also makes our life, my life, better. You see, when we're not grateful, we're not happy. When we are ungrateful, we are looking at the negative side and we're not happy. We're dissatisfied with ourselves. We're dissatisfied with our situation. Things are not good. James chapter 4, verse 1, James says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" What causes strife is selfishness. I had a history professor many, many years ago. John and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and he's come to believe I may be right. This history professor said that, in his opinion, he could go back through every war that was ever fought and was recorded in history, and it had an economic basis. What was at the heart of starting the war? Money. Somebody wanted something they didn't have and decided to take it away from somebody who had it. I'm not happy with what I got. I want what you got. That's what James said all those years ago. Where do wars come from? Fights come from? Because you're being selfish. Because you want stuff for your desires for pleasure. Because you're not grateful for what you have. Thankful people have a healthier perspective on life. It helps us to focus on our blessings and not on our burdens. Did you ever look at the word disease? You split it into two words. I'm not a good speller. I'm a horrible speller. The only way, I still to this day use what a third grade teacher taught me when I'm writing, and I write together, I write to get her. If you all struggle with the word, if there's any of you struggle with spelling together, you're welcome. I'm not a good speller, but I look at disease and I can figure out how to spell disease. I know there's rules, but I can't remember them. You know, it's dis-ease. It's not easy. It's not calm. It's not happy. When I'm at ease, I'm comfortable. Dis-ease, being sick, comes from not being happy, comes from not being comfortable, comes from not being grateful for where you are and what you have. When we have an attitude of gratitude, when we choose to focus on what we do have and be thankful for what God has given us, it improves our life. Gratitude is an attitude that can make your life much better. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in chapter 7, verse 7. We're going to go through verse 11. Our Lord says this, he's telling us to ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? Jesus tells us we can have what we ask for. There's a whole nother sermon there. You notice the example he uses, what was being asked for. Bread and fish, food, necessities of life, not a brand new Mercedes. But Jesus says we can have those things if we ask of them. And Paul tells us we need to make those requests with thanksgiving. Father, thank you for what I have. Thank you for what you've given us. And we're the same way, if you think about it. We like it when people say thank you to us, don't we? When they show an attitude of gratitude for something extra that we've done. And I think God wants to hear that from us as well. The difficulties around us, the things we don't understand, sometimes make it hard to be grateful. And it's really in our human nature to not be grateful. We kind of react with an automatic failure to be grateful and to look for something more. I love the story about a little village in Mexico many years ago. I don't know if this is true or not, but it ought to be. Geothermal oddity in that area meant that there were two springs side by side. One produced water that was almost boiling hot. The other one produced nice, cool water, and they were right there side by side. A tourist came through and was walking, and the women of the village there were washing and boiling their clothes in the hot water and then rinsing them in the cold water. And he remarked to his guide, he said, "That is really cool." He said, "I imagine the women are really glad and thankful that they have this hot water spring right next to a cool water spring. That's very convenient there. I bet they're really glad that that's there." And the guide said, "Well, no, not really." He said, "Mostly they complain because Mother Nature provided the hot water and the cold water, but no soap." And isn't that the way we are? We look around and focus on what we don't have. God commands us to be thankful in part for our own benefit. It's good for us. It's good for those around us, and it's good for us. No matter what life throws at us, we can choose to be positive, and we can choose to focus on our blessings. Philippians chapter 4. Again in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I used to tell my college students, when a teacher says something twice, that's a note-taking opportunity. It's going to be on the test. Paul tells us with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, rejoice. And again I'm telling you, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to be paying attention to being thankful for God. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father. You see, for children of God, Thanksgiving is so much more than a holiday. It's so much more than a day or two off of work. It's so much more than turkey and cranberry sauce. It includes sweet potatoes too. But it's so much more than that. It is, really should be, thanksgiving. Not just thanksgiving, where we sit around the table with all this bountiful blessings and all this food, and we are for one day thankful that we've got all this and hurry up and eat so that we can go watch the ball game. Our lives should be thanksgiving every day of our lives. Because an attitude of gratitude, thanksgiving, is better for us because we're better people. It makes our life better, and it makes the lives of those around us better. It gets us through those difficult times where pain and sorrow try to drown out all the good things around us. It'll help us to deal with challenges and difficulties. It'll help to get us through the next few weeks as we deal with our friend and our brother gone home to heaven, as we deal with the things that we don't know how to answer about their son. It'll help us to deal with the challenges that are going to happen in this country. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell the future. But I can tell you this, things are going to be difficult in this country, just like they were last year, just like they were the year before that, just like they will be next year, just like they will be, because that's life. And an attitude of gratitude, an attitude and a focus on thanksgiving, living our lives, giving thanks to God, will get us through it. And it'll help us get each other through it, knowing that we rely on God. Is your life one of thanksgiving? Are you thankful because you've surrendered to Jesus and you know that heaven waits? Or are you not sure? If you need to make changes in your life, if you need to surrender to Jesus, we're here to help you do that. We just open the book and it tells us how. If you have, but you kind of strayed and you let your attitude get wrong, if you need to change something in your attitude, if you need our help, come and we'll help you. If you need to just sit there or stand there as we're singing this song and make a change in your life between you and God, I encourage you to do it. Don't walk out these doors without an attitude of gratitude, without an attitude towards thanksgiving, knowing that there are things you can't control, but you can control you and how you react and how you deal with it. If you're subject to the invitation of our Lord, please respond appropriately. Let's stand and sing that song. And I beg you to respond to Jesus.